Happy to be checking in again with Quincy City Council President Nina Liang to chat about the council meeting of January 19th. Hey, Nina.
Hello there.
Good to see you. And here we are on Inauguration Day, speaking about local politics and local policies and issues. And the two go hand in hand, I think, certainly.
I agree. I mean, it all, I think, comes back to what's happening on the local level. And so I agree.
You had, a five-hour meeting last night?
Yeah.
The longest since you've been president, perhaps.
Yes, I was just saying to you that, we're caught red-handed, right? We tried to have the longest meeting possible so that we can keep Brad. I can't call him Council Kroll anymore. I think I'm just going to call him that, though, forever. That's what I know him as, but I think we're just trying to keep him as long as we could,
Yeah, he got a little teary-eyed as he predicted that that he would in saying goodbye. But a lot of heartfelt messages, I'm sure, that he'll remember for a long time.
Yeah, you know what? And he's still a Quincy kid through and through. He's not going anywhere. And so I, take solace in the fact that he'll still be around. He's still good friends to each of us, outside of the council. And so that's a really nice thing that he'll still be in the neighborhood and he'll still be here.
Well, you were just a freshman counselor yourself, when you came on board, and I know you looked to Brad for some guidance, and I know he helped you.
Yeah, I think we all did in our own way. Brad is very much the kind of person that invests very deeply with each person that he's speaking with, and you know how they say, sometimes when you're talking to somebody, they make you feel like you are the most important person in the world. That's how he is, and when I came in, and again, as a freshman counselor, I mean, he is really the reason why I love the budget the way that I do, because he's a numbers guy through and through. I mean, it's what he does for a living, but it's also something that he's exceptionally good at, and he's exceptionally just so well educated. And so, when it comes to that kind of work, I think my passion for it really stemmed from him really taking me under his wing when I first came on to walk through how important the budget process is, and to make sure that we're doing our due diligence around it. And that just in and of itself, not even to speak of all the other sage advice he gave me along the way. I mean, that piece alone is invaluable. And so again, each of us have had that kind of experience with him over the years. And so again, we're lucky that he's not leaving Quincy. We are definitely unlucky that he's leaving the council, but he's got big shoes to fill, that whoever comes next, for representing Ward 2 has definitely huge shoes to fill.
Yeah. So what is the process now to fill his seat for the remainder of the year?
Yeah, great question. And I am really happy to have the opportunity to speak through this medium as well to talk about it, because, we want all of us in the council to have the most transparent process with this as possible. And so just to explain logistically what happens now. So the way the legislation is written, essentially what happens is that the city clerk, Nicole Crispo, has to formally notify the city council, which she did last Friday. So she submits a formal letter that Brad, is stepping down as of this past Tuesday or as of yesterday. But the 15-day clock to appoint the next person doesn't start with him stepping down. It starts with when that notice goes out to the council. So as of last Friday, that's when the 15-day clock starts. And what we're asking folks to do is that if they are interested, to submit a resume and a letter of intent to Nikki and to Jen Manning. So it's ncrispo@quincyma.gov as well as jmanning@quincyma.gov. And if you can just drop those emails into this video as well, that'd be great. They have until this Friday at noon. And then that'll give both the clerk and the assistant city clerk time to send all of the information out to all of the counselors for us to review. And then next Monday, the 25th, we're holding a special city council meeting at 6:30 to give folks an opportunity to give a statement essentially in front of us. And, we'll discuss and hopefully be able to appoint that evening, because then there's about 5 days after that we'll have some wiggle room if we need to have additional meetings. But again, that gives us the opportunity to have an open process, to be transparent about this process, give us time to review, to have the meeting, and then also have a buffer of a few days if we need to have any additional meetings. And again, it's a very short window. Unfortunately, we have to do it all within 15 days. And so, we're off to the races with that. And under the legislation, the way it's written, I, spoke with Solicitor Timmons, and he came down with a recommendation to confirm that it does have to be a registered voter who lives in Ward 2. Again, whoever that may be, if they are interested, to submit their resume and letter of intent by this Friday.
Okay. And what does the letter have to contain? Nina, just, you know, my name is such and such, and I'd like to be considered for the Ward 2 council seat.
That's really up to the person. Again, you know, the only requirements are that we do this within 15 days of being formally notified and that it is a registered voter of Ward 2. You know, as far as submitting a resume and letter of intent, this is something that, you know, we put together to, you know, keep the process as consistent as possible. You know, we looked back at when this was done in the past, both on school committee and on city council, and it just provides an opportunity where we can have, you know, information collected in a way that gives everyone sort of equal footing, right? Whoever's interested can submit a resume. Everyone who's interested submits the letter. And so they're all coming and submitting the same sort of pieces of documents if they are interested. And again, whatever they put on that is entirely up to them. There's no requirement for it. You know, it has to be a page or two pages, right? And so folks have flexibility there on what they'd like to write.
Okay. And can counselors nominate somebody also, or is this strictly, you know, an application process?
So I don't know if the application process is the right term for it. You know, we are, again, you know, encouraging folks who are interested to submit, you know, the resume and letter of intent as their formal sort of, as like their formal notice to us, right, that they are interested in this.
Okay.
And then that gives us an opportunity to know who is going to be coming in front of us at the special city council meeting.
Okay. All right. So January 25th, 6:30 p.m. Remotely, I'm guessing as well, like the council meetings have been held before.
Yep. It'll be virtual.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so the candidates would have to be virtual as well, correct?
Yes. Yes. There's a lot that I wish we could be doing in person. This is definitely one of them. But unfortunately, again, just with things going the way that they are, virtual is the safest way to go right now.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll follow up next week and see how that process is going. I'm very curious to see how that works out. I remember when former Ward 2 Councillor Dan Raimondi stepped down. So that was, he had 2 years left though in his term. So there was an appointment made at that time. So this is a little bit different.
It is. So, you know, it can go one of two ways depending on when a vacancy occurs. You know, because it's a two-year term, if it occurs in the first 12 months, so essentially the first half of the term, then we're, you know, we don't do the appointment process, but because it is in the second half of the term, we do. In the first half, you know, the clerk would call for a special election. Yep. So, you know, folks would go to the polls just like they do in any other year and they would vote. But again, because it's happening in the second half of the term, meaning the second year, essentially, that's what happens now. We do the appointment process. Typically, the way the legislation is written is that it would be an appointment of the person who is the runner up. And so in the most recent election, you know, would appoint the next person, but Councilor Kroll has been done, you know, he's been doing a bang up job. He didn't have an opponent last election. And so this is where we are.
Yeah. Or the one before that, I think too. So,
I think you're right. Yeah.
Maybe this is a good time to ask you, Nina, are you running for re-election this year?
Oh my goodness. What a question. To my knowledge, that's the plan. Yeah. Yeah. You know what, just with everything that's been going on, I am so solely focused on just getting through what's directly in front of us. And I don't mean to be short-sighted in that effort. I want to make sure that I'm doing everything that I can to, you know, be the most resourceful as possible to my colleagues, and that I am doing everything I can to put our best foot forward. And so that's sort of my focus right now, is again just to sort of focus on next steps, right? Getting through this process with the appointment, you know, again, making sure it's the most transparent as possible, making sure it's organized, that all my colleagues, again, you know, are part of this process and brought along as well, which they have been really helpful in establishing what this process looks like for us. And then getting through the rest of the meetings, and then the budget season's coming up soon. And so there's a lot of work still ahead for us right now.
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, loving the budgets, that's going to be critical this year. Certainly given the revenue shortfalls caused by the pandemic. Ever see yourself as chair of the finance committee?
You know what? There are some folks who I think are really well-versed in this. I love, again, the process from what Councilor Kroll has taught me over the years. And I would be honored to be in any position that my colleagues want to put me up for.
Oh, and by the way, you said goodbye to Ruth Jones last night too.
We did. A lot of goodbyes last night. Again, this is why I wanted to drag it out. I didn't want to say goodbye to people. I'm a hugger. And so, you know, I wanted to try to drag this out. Maybe they would change their mind until we could be in person and actually hug again. But yeah, no, Ruth's official last day was last Friday, but we had a chance to honor her as our COVID-19 hero, which is so fitting, you know, just with everything that she has done this past year, where no one, I mean, no one knew how to handle something like this. It's not like, okay, you know, let's go talk to folks who handled all this during the Spanish flu, right? Like, there's nothing out there, right? And everyone was trying to do the best that they could, make the best decisions that they could, and lead the best that they could. And I think she was just, she just did an exemplary job at that, you know? And so we're really, really sad to see her go. You know, she spoke a lot about how much of a collaborative effort that was with her and all of her team members, her and all of the people in her department. And I think that just speaks to the kind of person that Ruth is. You know, she was the kind of person that gave her cell phone number out to everyone, would answer the call day or night, and on top of still just running a department, was essentially running all of the responses with COVID-19. I mean, she did it all, right? And she never ever said, well, yes, I'm happy to do this because I'm doing it and it's just me and I'm accomplishing it. Every time you tried to say thank you to her, she always, always pointed to her team, right? And she always said, you know, what kind of work they were doing to support her and support the community in this. And again, that's the kind of person she is. You know, she didn't take credit for any of it. She would always really speak so highly about the people around her who make it possible. And so I'm really sad to see her go. She was such a team player. She really was an incredible leader, for sure.
I agree. We had a great relationship here at QATV as well. And although she was, you know, commissioner in an administrative role, she is always going to be a nurse at heart. And that's always going to come first, I think, for her, for yeah. Sure.
Yeah, you see it in her, right? And again, from your relationship that you've had with her, I'm sure you can see it as well. Is it that passion is there, you know, and she loved what she did. And you could definitely see that.
Now, is that that's a mayoral appointee, is it not, to replace her?
Yes, and they're in the process of doing so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I know that she credits her team again with keeping the department going, you know, after her retirement. And the mayor said the same thing as well. So again, another testament to the good people that she had around her, for sure.
Absolutely. And again, it just, there is this image that I've seen online that I go to a lot, actually. And it's a graphic of somebody who is dragging, you know, like a huge, like almost like holding a rope with a bunch of, like, this massive, you know, sort of block behind them. And they're singularly in the front holding that. And then there's, you know, about a set of six people behind that person, and they're all grabbing it and pulling it together. And there's an arrow pointing to the person in the front saying, that's the leader. And that's Ruth, right? I mean, she was that leader, that she was doing that work with her team, you know, and she was there, you know, working, if not hard, I mean, she just was phenomenal. Do you know what I mean? And that kind of image is what I think of when I think of Ruth. And so, yes, even though she's not there right now, yeah, her team, I think, will absolutely be able to continue that work as needed.
No question. Can we talk a little bit about the public hearing regarding the Department of Social Justice and Equity? Some pretty emotional testimony, some pretty raw testimony, pretty truthful testimony too, even given the virtual platform.
Yeah, you know what, Joe, last night was a very emotional, very raw meeting, you know, with Councilor Kroll leaving, with Ruth leaving, and, you know, with the interaction and engagement from the public, you know, and we heard from a lot of folks who I think were on one side of it, and a handful of people who were on the other side, and from all perspectives, you know, to see that many residents come out and participate in this way, just in local government, you know, is so inspiring. But to add on top of that, what they were bringing to the table and what they were sharing really was so deeply impactful last night. And I'm so grateful to my colleagues for creating that kind of a space. You know, even in my time outside of a Zoom meeting and in the chambers, I don't think have ever seen that many people come out to participate in the public process like that. You know, our Zoom capacity is at 100 and we maxed out. We had folks rolling in and out of the meeting to create space for additional people to come in to give public testimony and comment to their experiences here in the city with racism. And so, you know, I am really grateful for those who came into that space and were willing to share their stories. But I'm just so deeply grateful to my colleagues for creating that space. You know, Councillor Mahoney, who's chairperson of the committee who led that meeting, did a phenomenal job as well, making sure that everyone had an opportunity to be heard. But again, it was such an incredible, amazing, but certainly raw moment on the council.
Have you ever maxed out your Zoom meetings before like that, Nina?
I have not. Not on the council, not for my day job. It's been, Zoom has been pretty good in capacity, and I've not ever had something like this happen. But again, I think it just speaks to what was created last night, you know, that kind of space and that kind of opportunity for folks to come in. I think my colleagues did a phenomenal job in inviting that kind of conversation in, and I'm really grateful to them for it.
I wonder if the virtual platform maybe lent itself to a little bit more, comfort level for folks to speak more personally as opposed to in person.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it is still a meeting of the council, even though it is a committee. It's still a council committee, you know, so we are still bound by open meeting law, where mm-hmm. folks do have to, you know, state their name and their address for the record when they're providing testimony. And so that is something that I think, you know, is a much larger conversation about, you know, making sure that folks feel comfortable in that space. But, you know, certainly being in a virtual space provides for access to those who can't physically go to the council chambers. And on top of that, you know, given the time that the meetings are being held, you know, sometimes folks aren't able to make it from mm-hmm. their jobs or from their homes because of other commitments. And so certainly for access, I think, you know, being in a virtual space has created more access. And, you know, that's one of the things you have to take away from what's been happening with the pandemic, right? Is what tools have been working well that we can take away from this to continue using. And I think this could be one that we could explore.
I know the new department ultimately was approved. What happens now?
Well, our request for the department was approved, certainly. And I will just say too that I do want to call out that, you know, while our request for what was put together was approved, you know, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. You know, a number of colleagues last night brought up some really important concerns about, you know, their hesitation to move forward on something that did not feel as complete and as strong and as impactful as it could be. You know, the opportunity to build something better, I think, was wanted by a number of my colleagues last night. And I think it's important to think of and remember moving forward, right? This is the first step, I believe, in having something that is permanent and that works well. You know, we certainly aren't there yet. I think that was made pretty clear last night. We aren't there. This isn't, you know, the end goal, what was passed last night. And I think that this first step in our request for the department now goes to the mayor's office. Is a process, right? And it's something that we need to continue to follow very closely to make sure that the end result is something that we all can be supportive of.
Yeah, I know some concerns were raised about not enough information regarding salary, not enough teeth, to the ordinance to give the director of this department power to enforce anything. How do you feel about that?
I think they're valid concerns. I do. And I don't disagree with them. You know, I think they aren't just concerns of my colleagues, but in fact, concerns that are shared by a number of their constituents, my constituents, you know, our constituents as well. Both of those things, right? The sort of financial aspect of it, as well as, you know, the notion that there, you know, isn't enough teeth to that as well, right? And so, again, those concerns that were brought up, I think, are also reflective of concerns that were mentioned by constituents. And that's why I think it's important that moving forward on this, that we continue to follow this as it moves, and we continue to be actively a part of it to make sure that we are capturing, you know, what the exact numbers are on it, making sure that we are able to create more teeth as this moves along, because I think those are valid concerns that were brought up.
Yeah. Do you know, is the Human Rights Commission in the city still in existence, Nina?
To my knowledge, but I am not sure on its activity. And so, you know, that was something that I've been thinking about as well, is between, you know, whether it's the Human Rights Commission or like constituent services, you know, this kind of work around diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI, as folks call it, you know, it's not just a term. There is, you know, there's education behind that, and there's experience behind that, right? And so what I mean by that is that there are folks who are trained to operate in that space and to create programming around that space and to have conversations and lead in that space, right? Just like Ruth is able to lead, you know, a department around, you know, health and well-being in the city, so too do we need to have somebody well-versed in DEI issues across the city, right? And so that's another piece of this, and why it's important is that it does support constituent services. It certainly supports, as some folks had brought up, what was it? Essentially what I'm trying to say is that, you know, this department is in service of the residents of the city, but they are specializing in, you know, DEI programming and education. Mm-hmm. And so that's really important that we find that person for that.
Yes. More than just, you know, a complaint department to go to, more proactive rather than reactive, right?
Correct. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm.
Let's see, was the new House Speaker also at the meeting last night?
He was, Speaker Mariano. I need to change his name on my phone. I had him in as Majority Leader for as long as I've known him, but no, Councilor Kroll has, you know, both Councilor Kroll and Speaker Mariano are very close. And, you know, Councilor Kroll had brought Speaker Mariano in front of us for the opportunity to just formally congratulate him on this. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. And I've said this to you a number of times, I'm very selfish when it comes to Quincy. And so to have, you know, the Massachusetts state legislature speaker come from Quincy, somebody who is also, you know, a Quincy kid and started out as a local elected official here. It's a really a proud moment for our city. And so Councilor Kroll recognizes that and wanted, again, to really sort of formally acknowledge that and give us the opportunity to congratulate Speaker Mariano at the council as well. And so it was really nice having him there last night, and it was really nice for all of us to have an opportunity to congratulate him. And it was really, I think, really fitting that, you know, when he was there, he thanked us very briefly and wanted to actually take that opportunity to congratulate Councilor Kroll on this new venture, right, and his next steps, because again, they have such a long professional relationship. And so that was a lot of sort of what Speaker Mariano brought to that conversation, was just to acknowledge Councilor Kroll's work over the years. And again, Speaker Mariano was, you know, a local elected leader himself, you know, when he started this out. And so I think because of that, he really is passionate about working at the local level and, you know, wanted to express his gratitude to Councilor Kroll for that as well.
Nice. Yeah, he was actually a Quincy public school teacher before he was even elected to office. So he's got long, deep roots in Quincy Point for sure.
He does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was there discussion about the Wollaston Center at all, Nina?
There was a brief presentation, and that is actually up on the website. And so I encourage folks, if they are able to, and if you can also drop in the links to it, just go to quincyma.gov, our homepage. Yeah. And at the top, you can click on a link now to access information about the Wollaston Urban Revitalization Development, Project District. I always call it the URDP, so I'm like forgetting the abbreviation. But in any case, I encourage folks to go in and check it out. Essentially, you know, what we've done in the downtown is we created this URDP, which is this district that says everything within this district is what is going to get redeveloped. And that's what has been happening in the downtown area. We're now looking at Wollaston to do the same thing, right? We're looking to create a district within sort of that Wollaston Center area along Hancock Street, going up the L, you know, over on Newport, a little bit across from the Wollaston T Station. You know, with Wollaston T Station being redone recently, right? This sort of commercial area right in Wollaston is an area that, you know, we're now looking to create another development district around to sort of incentivize redevelopment of that area. And I think, you know, again, this was a long time coming, right? There were a number of community meetings that have been held over the years back when we could still meet in person is, you know, how long these conversations have been going on now. And so this is, you know, formally a presentation to the council about, you know, the district that had been drawn up now based off of all of that work that had been done in the past within the community. And now this is sort of like the first official step for now the council to start holding public meetings for us to get involved, to see what the district looks like and what the business owners there and the residents there want to see. And again, this is the first step of that formal process. You know, we still need to have meetings within committee. We still want public input. We want the public hearings, just like we do with everything that comes in front of us. And even from there, it still has to go to planning board. And even after that, and all the public interaction there, they actually want to form a citizens advisory committee. And so there's going to be more opportunities for public engagement there as well. And then it does have to go to the Department of Housing and Community Development. And so this is the very, very, very first step in all of that. I'm really excited to see, you know, more information about that district and what, you know, we're looking at as far as how many stories we're going up, you know, specifically what streets it in, you know, in cases, what we're looking for as far as what kind of retail we want, what kind of development we want. I mean, this is a really exciting start to this process. And again, it's just the first step. You know, there's a number of opportunities for the public to get involved, but I would definitely encourage them to start by checking out the website and taking a look at the district, taking a look at the information, and just continuing to follow along and participate in the process.
It's the Wollaston Center Urban Redevelopment Plan. So just thank you.
Thank you. Yes. I always refer to it as a district. I apologize. So I will just refer to it as the URDP moving forward.
Anything else right now, Nina?
I'm trying to think. No, it was, again, it was a really jam-packed meeting last night. And I think it was, you know, my takeaway from the meeting is that it was a really engaging meeting, a really special meeting. Councillor Kroll, you know, departing with that kind of a meeting, I think is so fitting, right? To have a space where there is such public engagement and there is such engagement and rawness from my colleagues, you know, I just think that, again, that speaks to the kind of atmosphere that he created, you know what I mean? And for him to no longer be there, my gosh, I'm still trying to plot and plan how I can snag him back as much as I can. He just, again, that's the kind of atmosphere he brought to the council, you know? And when folks think back to that meeting last night and think back to what was discussed and the conversations that were had, I hope that they remember Council Kroll for that, because again, that's the kind of atmosphere he created for all of us to operate in, you know, regardless of what the topic is and what the issue is and what side of the issue you're on, to have open, honest, engaging, vulnerable dialogue where, you know, folks can bring that realness to that kind of a space, have great debate on both sides of the issue, have great debate where you're coming from two different perspectives, three perspectives, four, but whatever that may be, to have the Speaker of the House come and honor. I mean, again, it just speaks to the kind of person that Brad Kroll is. And so I'll leave it with that's, I think, you know, my takeaway with last night's meeting. It was incredibly special, you know, because of what he's done, you know, to create that kind of space in the council and to really have us operate in that kind of way. So yeah, he'll definitely be missed. And I hope that we can carry on that legacy as we move forward in future meetings.
I have a feeling you'll still be seeing his name pop up in the public hearing section.
I hope so. Yes. He did mention that he would definitely pop in as a constituent, as a resident. And so I hope he does. Absolutely.
All right. Can we check in after the special meeting next week, Nina?
Yes, please. So I will see you on Tuesday, because the meeting, again, as a reminder to folks, is Monday night at 6:30 p.m. And for those who are interested in the appointment, please submit your resume and letter of intent to both Nikki and to Jen by this Friday at noon.
All right. Sounds good. Good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Always good to talk to you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.